Blog Talk Radio. you use and you hit merge?
I did hit merge. Hold on.
Oh. Okay, I see it now.
Are you on?
I'm on. Can everybody hear me?
We've lost a few, so you know this going it's going to be a shallow skeleton crew because of what we're doing, what we are doing on here for this evening. And we have one that's on Zoom, that's still on Zoom. Go ahead, my brother. I was getting ready
to
and for those of you who are listening through this, we was able to contact, getting back in contact with Deacon Brad, John Bradley. He is also one of the speakers for Call Him to Be Ministries, and he is coming with the word this evening. Even though that we may be late, God is a God who's always on time. Deacon John Bradley out of Michigan.
Amen, amen, amen. I do apologize, everyone. I tried a few different ways, and I couldn't even do it. I even tried calling in on Mother's regular home phone line, thinking maybe it was something to do with Metro PCS, but it's not even that. So I do apologize to y'all. I do have a word from you, and the word actually comes from Psalm 22. I entitled this, Isn't the Amazing Holy Spirit? And the reason being is because of what the Holy Spirit did in the life of David. We all know David as king. He wrote most of the Psalms, the largest psalm writer. And King David really was someone whom God had selected to bring this message. And Psalm 22 is unique in a psalm in the fact that it is not only a messianic psalm, as some of the psalms are, but it is unique because it points to directly and deals with directly the crucifixion of Christ, our Lord. And what is unique about it is a lot of people attend on Good Friday service the last several words of Christ, and not knowing that the words they hear Jesus saying is actually a psalm of David. And what's taking place here is a psalm of David. And it starts like this in verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou deliverest them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They that trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, no man, a reproach of man, and despises of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip, they shake their heads, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. That's the first 8 verses. And one of the things you get out is you realize quickly as you read this, this is the crucifixion of Christ, my Lord, my Savior. This is at his crucifixion. Remember how they scorned him. Remember how they teased him. Remember how they said, well, let's see if Elias will come and save him. Let us see what God will do for him. Let us see this. And let us see that. And it is amazing to me how these Jewish people over and over and over again would show a lack of faith. Yes, we today, we live by faith. It is by our faith that we are saved. It is by our faith that we know Jesus Christ died on the cross. We know these things by faith. It is by faith that we know he got up from the grave. It is by our faith that we know he told us the truth. It is by our faith that we know God speaks the truth. It is by faith that we read the scriptures and know that they are true. Yet these Jews always kept looking for miracles. They looked for miracles instead of relying on their faith. They looked for miracles instead of looking to the cross. They looked for miracles constantly. Yet the Holy Spirit had said 1,000 years ago these events would take place. I want you to think about this. Jesus Christ had not one bone broken. Yet in Psalm 22, we find out that David actually declared that. In Psalm 22, we see that David declares a crucifixion, yet crucifixion wasn't even invented yet. It wouldn't be invented for 500 more years. Predicted his crucifixion. How do we know? Because in verse 14, we see these words. We see the words that what David says in verse 13. They get the pay with their vows, and as a ravening and roaring lion, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potter's shed. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and they have brought me into the dust. For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones that they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vestures. And we, those of us who are familiar with the crucifixion story, we do know that, yes, they parted Jesus' lots, garments and cast lots to see who would win it. We know that his bone, he was stretched high. We know they hung him high and stretched wide. We do know he thirsted, and he said, I thirst, and they gave him vinegar to drink. We do know these things take place, but yet the Holy Spirit told David to say these words, pointing to the crucifixion of David's Lord and David's son. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit will do this, how the Holy Spirit speaks to us in the scriptures, how the Holy Spirit spoke about the crucifixion of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ, my Lord, and I pray that he is your Lord too. It is just amazing to me how all this was played out 1,000 years before it actually would even take place. Listen, look at David's words in verse 20. Deliver my sword, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, from those that has heard me from the horns of the unicorn. It's amazing to me how a lion's mouth, you know if a lion gets you in the mouth, you're dead. You know that if a pack of dogs come upon you and they want to kill you, you're dead. You know that the sword is an instrument to bring about death. Yet we also know that the grave could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. So his soul, his body is delivered from the power of death. That is our Savior. And here we see the Holy Spirit telling David this 1,000 years before. It is just amazing to me how God works things out. It's amazing to me how God keeps us and amazes us, because we know that if God will keep Jesus, then God will keep us.
Amen.
Let me say that again. If God will keep Jesus, then God will keep us. Because what Jesus went through is so that we can know that we have a promise. Yes, God raised up Christ because one day he will raise us up in a like manner. We now know that death has no victory over us. We know that death cannot keep us because death could not keep our God. Oh, how blessed we are because we believe what the Holy Spirit has told us. The Holy Spirit is amazing. The Holy Spirit shows us how amazing he is by having David cry out in his flesh and wonder, is God far from me? No. God was not far from David. God was not far from Jesus when he cried out in his flesh. And let me tell you now, God is not far from you. Jesus loves you. Jesus sent his son to die for you. Yes, he is the son of David, and he is the son of God. Do not get caught up in that word son. It simply means same as. Yes, Jesus was God when he was on the cross. Yes, he was God when he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And yes, it was by the power of God that he got out of that tomb. Because God wants you to know that he loves you. Let me tell you a little other trick that's in this. You know, he talked about dogs surrounding him. Dogs in Jewish language sometimes refers to people who are not Jews. Let me give you an example. Jesus actually gave an example. I remember over in John chapter 3 where Jesus got into a conversation with a woman that was begging him to heal her child, and Jesus called her a dog, and her response was, but even dogs eat the crumbs that fell from the master's table. What did Jesus say about that woman? He said, no greater faith have I seen in all of Israel. It was great. Her faith is what made her whole. Why did the Jews not see him? Why the Jewish leaders couldn't see that that was Christ on the cross? It's because they lacked faith. Why are me and you wonderful in the kingdom of God? It's because of our faith. And that faith has been given to us by the amazing Holy Spirit. I just love the Bible. I love the Word of God. So let's prove what I've been saying. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 27. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 27 and see what it is that took place. Oh, I just love the Word of God, man. You can just pick it up and turn it over, and bam, there it is. So let's take a look at what it says. Matthew 27, we're going to start ourselves off at let's take a look here. Let's start off at verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put him on a scarlet robe. And when they plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. They bowed their knees and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the robe from him and put on him on the raiment, and they led him away to crucify him. Verse 33, and where they come, the place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of the hills, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when they had tossed therefrom, he would not drink. They crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set upon his head this accusation written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Let's go over to verse 45. "Now when the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Allah, Allah, lama sabachthani?' That is to say, 'My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" It is amazing to me that 1,000 years before, Jesus would actually speak these words. But these people, having no faith, in verse 47, said them, some of them stood there when they heard that and said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straight away, one of them ran, took a sponge, filled with vinegar, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." They kept looking for miracles. They kept wanting to see miracles. These wicked, evil people keep wanting to see miracles. They would not rely on their faith. They could not stand on their faith. And truth be told, they lacked faith. But yet, Jesus stayed on that cross. He stayed up there. Why? "Because I sinned against God. Because you have sinned against God," he stayed on that cross. He died. He was taken down and he was buried. But the grave could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. The grave would not be his final place. And yes, we see that. We see that in his words. And we know this. And watch this. Why is that? Verse 28, Psalm 22. "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among nations. And they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. And they that go down to the dust shall bow down before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, and it shall be an accounting to the Lord for the generation. And they shall come and shall declare the righteousness unto the people, that they shall be born that have done this." Oh, my goodness. If you go to the book of Revelation, you will discover that you're there. You're written there in Revelation chapter 6, that every nation shall come to the Lamb. Someone from every nation, every people, every tongue, and shall declare the glory of God. Yes, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Not only that, you will discover in Revelation chapter 19 that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar declared it back in the book of Daniel, and Revelation declares it in his words in chapter 19, that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is a testimony of the Holy Spirit. This is a testimony that every believer has. The Holy Spirit is amazing. He predicts the future. He predicts what will take place and what will be said. The Holy Spirit is God's word breathed in this text. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Are there any questions?
Amen. Are there any questions? Are the mics open? Any questions? Pastor Miles, you have any questions? Hold on. Your mic is low. Hold on.
I heard him.
Why don't you say something, Pastor Miles?
something, Pastor Miles.
I'm not hearing you loud. Is your mic low? The volume?
No, all of my things are up. They're loud.
I'm using Suzanne's computer, and she knows it better than I. How about now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, you're much better now. Okay, I think I was hitting the wrong button. Do you have any questions or comments for Deacon Bradley?
I got on late, so I was just trying to catch up. I really couldn't have anything to bring to the table.
Yes, amen. We started off, it was a rough start. We started off attempting to get this technology piece together. And Deacon Bradley was so gracious to come on and fill in for this evening, which was a blessing, as always a blessing. Good man, and always ready to come forth, you know, do whatever is necessary for the kingdom. So, you already had this message prepared, Deacon Bradley. I do thank you for coming forth and sharing it with Psalm 22. Any comments that you want to make at this point in time?
I just want to say this to everyone. Thank you for having me, first of all. But I also want to say, you know, I'm just amazed at how accurate Psalm 22 is when it comes to the crucifixion of Christ. You know, not only predicting what he would say, but to people bringing him vinegar, to people parting his garments, to people, to the fact that the grave would not hold him, it could not keep him, to the fact that there will be Gentiles there at his crucifixion, that just amazing how it describes the crucifixion, his bones being out of joint. We know that happens at a crucifixion. The fact that he would thirst, the fact that they would pierce his hands and his feet, the fact, you know, it's just over and over again, just how much it is actually in this psalm. And a lot of it, of course, we know is the Old Testament is a hidden text as far as it hides Christ. In the Old Testament, the New Testament, Christ is revealed. But it just amazed to me that just how much of Psalm 22 is there on his crucifixion. And then it deals with a little bit of his future as far as when it comes time and the end times, as far as him becoming the kingdom of the Lord of basically the governor of all nations, and how it just points to the future at the end and how every seed will serve him. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just amazing at how Jesus is just laid out in this psalm. And I can't imagine David just going through what he's going through, and yet he is pointing to our Savior when he writes this psalm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. One of the cute things about this psalm is, you know, if you read the superscript on it, it says to the chief musician upon the Ajala Shahar. And what that means is it means the hind dawn. So hind being a red deer that's female, and dawn being, you know, the rising of the sun. So it's kind of a cute thing that I had to pick out of it, is that you're talking about a red dawn. And a red dawn to a sailor, remember, Jesus' apostles were fishermen, so they were sailors. And I was in the Navy, I'm a sailor too, that it says, it's a warning, like red dawn is a warning to a sailor. Mm-hmm. And this scripture is a warning to all men. It really is, that either you're going to be the seed of Christ or you're not going to be. In either case, you're going to recognize that he's God. Mm-hmm. But are you going to do that while you have a chance or while you don't have a chance? So that's really the warning part that I see in this when I go through this. Mm-hmm. You know, here it is, so that we can have faith, enough measure of faith, that if you read this, you're like, wait a minute, this is what happens at his crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens at his crucifixion, this psalm here. And so we just had this opportunity not only to have faith, but to see the evidence. You know, remember, without evidence, there's no faith. Mm-hmm. So we have this information, this evidence to back up our faith. So I just love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Amen. I think the scripture out of 22 that I like, you know, that grabs me so much is, I want to say it's 26, the poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. You know, just that that alone speaks volumes to me, that for those who come to the Lord or choose to come to the Lord will be satisfied and praise him because of who he is and what he is able to do, you know, in their life. So when I see that, that's, you know, what speaks to my spirit of just salvation, people coming to the Lord, looking, you know, looking for God in all the world places, in all the world places. So I do thank you for, you know, for coming on and sharing a word this evening. As we come to a close, would you please close us out with a word of benediction and the doxology, if you would, please, sir?
Yes, sir. My word to close everyone out is please, please, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't know if you record this for later broadcast, but please accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He loves you. He laid down his life for you. And that's just God's way of saying, I love you. I want to tell everyone who ever hears me speak is that there is no greater love than Jesus' love. Because while we were yet enemies of God, Jesus Christ died for us. And no man sends their son to die for their enemies. No one does that. But God did just that.
Yeah.
He did that because he loves you. He did that because he loves you. So my closing prayer is simply this. Eternal Father, precious Lord, I ask Heavenly Father that right now in the name of Jesus, that you allow someone to hear this message and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let them know not only do you love them, but we love them. And we want Christ for them because of that love. The love of Christ is so much that you just have to share it with someone. And if they would accept Christ, then they will find a love that they would have to share with somebody else. Jesus loves them, and so do we. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for that love. Now we ask, Heavenly Father, that the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will rest, rule, and abide in us all from this day forth, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. May God bless you.